Turn, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We'd like to read verse 14 through verse 19. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 14 through verse 19. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hands of the overseers and to the hands of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. There came a time in the history of the nation of Israel when, many years after the nation had been divided into two, that is, the northern kingdom had been and the southern kingdom. And after those years, the northern kingdom was carried away into captivity, and all that remained was the kingdom of Judah, or the southern kingdom. And Judah had suffered through the reign of a very corrupt king by the name of Manasseh. And after him came Amon, his son, who reigned only 2 years, and he was murdered in his own house. And it was Amon's son, Josiah, who then came to the throne at the age of 8. And the Bible declares that Josiah was a good king. The idiom is, and the scripture says this, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. Now it appears that in the 8th year after he ascended the throne, so he would have been 16 years old, he made a deliberate attempt to follow God. 4 years later, he began to make strides toward purifying the kingdom. The scripture says he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images, that says in verse 3. Verse 5 says he cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He finally went about to restore the temple, which had been much neglected and abused for over a couple hundred years. Now, when the workers had entered into the house of the Lord, at some point they discovered a book of the law of the Lord. They found a scroll which contained the laws of God as given by Moses. We read that in verse 14. And so the priest gave the scroll to Shaphan the scribe, and he read it to King Josiah. And at the hearing of the words of the Lord, Josiah was humbled. So we want to look into this passage today and concern ourselves with the Word of God. The title of the message is, Find the Book and Read It. That's the title today. Find the book and read it. Now back in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, we read that there is no vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now many like to make this a missionary or an evangelistic verse, but it really isn't. The remainder of that text says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There are four things that's borne out from that. First of all, in those days, in the Old Testament scriptures and at that time, that was how God spoke to men. He revealed visions to his prophets, who then declared that word to his people. So the verse says, without a vision, the people perish. They needed to hear the word of God. Number two, he that possesses and responds to the word of God is said to be happy. Happy is he that keepeth the law. So to hear the word of God, to hear it and respond to it. But then the third thing that emerges from that verse is, contrary to that, that is, if they don't have the word, the people will perish. Without a vision, the people perish. And then the fourth item is, there is a grave consequence in ignoring or rejecting God's word. The people will perish. And so the word of God is very important. From our passage today, I want to speak to you about find the book and read it. And if you get nothing else from this message today, please get this. The Word of God is of great value. It is precious, and it is absolutely necessary that we love it and that we respond to its truth. I encourage you to do that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house and to share your word. And I pray that you bless the word as it goes forth. And Lord, just speak to every heart. May we be encouraged as your people to love the word of God, to study the Bible, and to see what you have revealed unto us. We pray for those that are lost, that they might understand that this word is your word. And that, Lord, they might respond to it as well, that they might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask that your perfect will be accomplished. We just want to honor you today. We want to worship you. We want to praise your holy name. And so, Lord, we commit these things to your hand and pray that your will would be done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a number of things I would like to point out to you as we go through this passage today. And the first thing is found in verse 14. And that is, it was God's word and not man's word. As they went about to clean the temple, and they found the money and they found the word of God, verse 14 says that they brought that money out of the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, what was it that they found? They found what I believe would be the Pentateuch. Now, I don't know that it was all the Pentateuch, but Moses was directed by God to write the first five books of the Scriptures, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That is the law, and the Jews respect it as the law, and it's called the Pentateuch. And I would surmise that since it speaks of in the passage that it's found a book of the law of the Lord as given by Moses, that they found the Pentateuch. But what that means is this. It was God's word, God's revelation to man. Now, I understand it was given by Moses. God used men to write his word. God gives his word by inspiration. That's what he does. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God used men to write it. But the Pentateuch wasn't just an ordinary book. Well, you say, well, Moses wrote it. But Moses was being directed of God to write it. Thus, it was the word of the Lord, you see, more than just any other book. So you can sit down and you can begin to write and you can come up with all sorts of prose and poetry and you can write and compose all kinds of items. But you know what it would be? It would be your creation, wouldn't it? But when God got a hold of a man and he would work in their heart and lead them by his Spirit, they would write God's word. When they found this book here, it's just not an ordinary book. It's just not a common book. This is the Word of God. And so I encourage you today to understand that this book that we're reading from today is not an ordinary book. It's not a common book. This is the very Word of God. You say, but it was written by man. Well, I understand that it was put into print by man. God inspired those men to write. This is God's love letter to us. This is God's revelation to us. And God used men to write these things down for us. And he's preserved it for us. We have the Word of God. I like commentaries. And I like other kind of books. And, you know, the world's full of written material. But nothing compares to the Word of God. This, my friend, is the Bible. When they went to the temple, they found, may I say it this way, they found a copy of the Bible. That's what happened. And so they found the Word of God. This book is God's Word. It's not mine, it's God's. Secondly, God's Word had been ignored by the people. Look into verse 15. It says that he says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. They had found it. Well, you know what had happened? The kings had gone away from God. They had been very corrupt. They became pagan. And they worshiped other gods and goddesses. And they had forsaken the house of the Lord. It became a neglected piece of property. No matter how marvelous and tremendous it was when Solomon was used to build that temple, it had been neglected and years of abuse. And so what you find is that, you know, the cobwebs are up in the corners, you know, and all sorts of things. The building's starting to decay and to fall down and trouble's going on. And they had abused the temple. And there's no doubt that they hadn't been in some sections of the temple for years. And so now when they go to this place to cleanse the temple and they find some money there and they find a copy of the book. You see, really what it was the children of Israel, they were unaware of the message. They were unaware of the presence of the book. Now, it was their responsibility to follow after God. They were supposed to worship at the temple, but temple worship had been forsaken. Now, when Josiah is interested, they go to the place of worship, and they found the book. You know, you could compare that even to our modern society where in a church might have gone out of business, as it were, and the doors were shut, and the thing begins to decay, the property begins to collapse on itself, and the windows break, and everything is deteriorating, and all sorts of things. And somebody might go into that old dilapidated church one day, and perhaps after 50 or 100 years, and go in there, you know what, and they might find a copy of the Bible. Well, in a sense, that's kind of what they did. As they went in, they found the Word of God, but this is a book that had been ignored by the Bible. And now that I think they were aware of the Scripture. When they found it, they had an idea of what it was, but they were totally ignorant of its contents. And so when they went into the temple and they found this book, it was a tremendous discovery for them. Something that had been neglected for years now is being brought to the forefront. So here we have the Word of God now being brought out before the people. And then I want you to notice something else in our reading. From verse 14 down through verse 19, we saw how that Shaphan brought it to the king, and they read it before the king, and the king responded to that. The third thing I want to bring to your attention about this passage is God's word found lodging in the king's heart. Now, that's a good thing, isn't it? Shaphan says, we found this scroll, this is the word of God, and he began to read it before the king, and it touched his heart. In verse 19, it says that the king heard the words of the law. In verse 27, there's a statement saying, when thou heardst the words, it was read before him, he heard the word, and you know what it did? It pricked his heart. You know, I still believe that's true today, that God will use his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word was read, the message was declared, and God used that word to touch Josiah's heart. Do you have somebody that you know that's lost? You know what you need to do? You need to share with them the truths of the Word of God. God will use His Word. God can touch their heart by His Word. But the message must be declared. I believe the primary function of the church is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to declare the Word of God. And that's what we intend to do. The word was declared unto him, and you know what? It touched his soul. Made a difference. Has God ever touched your heart? You ever been reading his word? Ever heard the word being taught, being preached, and God came to you, spoke to you, oh, not audibly, but through the word, brought conviction to your soul? It did for Josiah. And now remember, Josiah had been seeking after the Lord for some time. When he was 16, he began to seek after God. He's 26 at this time when the book is found. And he hears the words for the first time. He hadn't heard them before. And it found lodging in his heart. But then look at verse 19 and verse 27 again. With that lodging, there was a humility that came over him. He was humbled before God. Let's read all the verse 19, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the word of the law, that he rent his clothes. That's a demonstration of humility. Tore his clothing. There's such grief that came over him. He rent his clothes. Now there's a statement they sent to the prophetess to inquire of her to see what was the response should be and what they needed to do. And she responds back and she makes this statement about the king in verse 27 and what God has said regarding this. It says in verse 27, because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledst thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. What does God say? God says he was humbled before him. Has God spoken to your heart? Has God revealed his truth to you? Have you been broken before God? Have you been humbled before the Lord? Now, why was Josiah humbled? He hears this word, that which is being read. He knows it's word, the word of God. And the declaration of it, he begins to connect the dots. Look back in verse 25. Why was he humbled? Why was he concerned about the situation? The statement says, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be poured upon this place and shall not be quenched. And he knew full well that was their most recent history. That they had gone away from God. The children of Israel for years had burned incense unto other gods. And they provoked God's anger against him. And so because of the rebellion of the people, when those words were declared, he realized, he says, wow, we're in big trouble here. Look back in verse 21. As a result of that, he knew that judgment was coming. And so it says, as he commands to take the book and go to the prophetess, it says in verse 21, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. Notice what he says and what he recognizes. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. This is what God has said. We've not kept it. Judgment's coming. Look down at verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. That's why he was humbled. They had not done well. They had not been obedient. Judgment was coming and he knew it. And it broke his heart. And so he was humbled before God. Well, notice what happens then in verse 30. What does Josiah do? He's humbled before God. He confirms this by speaking to the prophetess and finding out what God has to say in regard to these matters. And so in verse 30, what you find that he does is that God's word is declared. Look at it. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. What he did was is he made that book available to all the people. And he was leading them to be aware of God's word. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, one of the problems we have in our society, really there's a great sense in our society where there is no vision. Because people have no concept of the Word of God. They don't know what it says. They have no interest in it. And they need to hear. I'll tell you, the king called an assembly, got up, and had the book read so everybody could hear. Wouldn't it be marvelous if the president of the United States would go on nationwide TV, grab a copy of the Word of God, and start reading to the people? You think it would make a difference? Boy, the people wouldn't like it too much, would they? Not in our society. We got to separate church and state. The king read the word before all the people, and it made a difference. People need to know about the Bible. My friend, this is God's book. This is his word. We want you to know about it. We want you to be aware of it. The king made it available, read it to the people. And as a result, God's word brought about a commitment. Look at verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant that are written in the book. And he causes Jerusalem to read it and to hear about it and he let them know. And they got on board with it. You know what this did? The word of God changed Josiah's life. You say, but he was doing really well up to that point anyway. He began to seek God when he was 16, and he purified the cities and cleansed Jerusalem, and he was working on the temple when the Word of God was found. But you know what? There still was room for improvement, wasn't there? And when he got the Word come to him, when he found the book, it was read, he was exposed to it, he had an understanding. You know, his Christian life, if I may express it in this way, his Christian life was improved. Simply because he got into the Word of God. And I'll tell you, dear Christian friend, you get into the book and you love God's Word and you read it and you study it and you pay attention to it and you hear it preached and you hear it taught. You get in a regular devotion, reading it every day if you can. You know what? It'll change your life. It will make a difference in you. You say, but I'm saved. And I've grown by leaps and bounds since I've been a Christian. Ah, but you want to grow some more? Get into the book. find the book and read it. I tell you, love the Word of God. And so you look into verse 32, as I already mentioned and alluded to, he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. Now, he's on board with it. They want to get on board. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And what he did was, because he was on fire, because he was right with God, and the Word of God made a difference in his heart and his life, you know what he did? He was able to help others. What a difference it made. The Word of God will change your life. I encourage you to get the book and read it. Now, we already know that Josiah was going about to make some cleansing and make some changes anyway, but now, with the Word of God, it's even more so. He's fired up about doing what God wants him to do. So in verse 33, we read how that God's Word brought about a response of cleansing. And the Word of God will do that. And Josiah took away all the abominations, and that's the false gods and goddesses, all the abominations out of the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. Go, if you will, to the parallel passage, 2 Kings chapter 23. Go back to your left a little bit. You want to talk about a difference? I mean, this guy was already doing some measure of reform, but the Word of God, oh, what a difference it made in him. And it got a hold of his heart, and how much more zeal he had in cleansing the land from the idolatry so that God alone would be served. Over in 2 Kings chapter 23, just notice the reading of these verses and what had taken place here. Gather from it the information and the cleansing of which he performed. 2 Kings 23, verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple, out of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Skip down to verse 10. He defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. Child sacrifice had been going on, and he put a stop to it. Verse 11, and he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down, and break them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into brook Kidron, and the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of them. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it to small to powder, and burned the grove. And then verse 20, and he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. Well, this guy made a thorough round of it, didn't he? And all the cities throughout, beginning at the house of the Lord. Did you notice in the reading there that even the places of the abominations that Solomon set up within the temple itself, which Solomon built for God. And for all those years, the children of Israel kept falling away from God. Now, every now and then, they would have a good king, and they would be right. But now, after Manasseh's reign, and oh, he was so wicked. Ammon, Josiah reigns. And he wants to serve God. He follows after God. But you know, when the God's word came, well, what a difference. What a change it made in his life. God's word brought about a response of cleansing. And then if you'll go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 35, the last thing I want to mention unto you is that God's word brought about a response of service. That's what God will do through his word. In chapter 35, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord." And so the Passover, remember that which was instituted when they left Egypt? They were to keep that year by year. Well, that had been forsaken. Had been offered up for years and years. And Josiah now, upon the discovery of the word, not only was cleansing the land, but it brought about a change in him. Look in verse 4 and verse 6. "And prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son, and stand in the holy place according to the division of the families of the fathers of your brethren the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites, so kill the Passover, and sanctify yourself, and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses." You know what he did? He observed the Passover. They hadn't done it for a couple centuries. But now the word of God is found. He reads about that, finds out about it, says, "Oh, you know, there's a Passover. I'd heard about it, but it really didn't mean a whole lot to me, but it's in the book. And we're going to read it. And we're going to study it and know what we need to do. Therefore, we follow the Passover." And so it brought about a matter of service. You see the difference that comes about in Josiah because of the word of God, the change, not only in him, but for the nation itself. Let me offer you three things in conclusion. Number one, to all people, I would say anywhere, get the book and read it. Look into the word of God. You say, "Well, I don't know much about it." Well, that's why you ought to be reading. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to hear it preached. You need to hear it taught. Get in the book. I don't care whether you're saved or not. You need to get the book and you need to read it. You know, one of the best gifts you can give somebody is a copy of the Word of God. Make sure they have the Bible. I would encourage all to read. Now, if you're lost, I would say to you, first of all, and this is just my opinion, I would encourage you to get the copy of the Scriptures and get the book of John and read the book of John through a couple times, two or three times. Get familiar with the terminology. Get familiar with the sense of it. Get familiar with the story. Read John through about two or three times. Then after you read John, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read that through three or four times. Get used to it. Find the story of Jesus. See what the Scriptures have to say about Him. And then after you do that, read the New Testament Scriptures through three or four times. And then embark on the Old Testament Scriptures. That would be my recommendation to you. Because I want you to know about Jesus. And you'll find Jesus through the book of John. You'll find Jesus in the Gospels. You'll find Jesus in the New Testament Scriptures. But as a matter of fact, you'll find Jesus in the Old Testament. It's just you're not going to be able to find Him too much unless you have some understanding of the New Testament. I'll tell you, my friend, I don't care who you are, get the book and read it. Number two, to any saved person today, you're here, you say you're saved. You know what? If you get into the book, you know what you'll find? You'll find exactly what Josiah found. You'll find commitment. You'll find a cleansing. And you'll find proper service to God. You know what will happen? You get into the book and start reading it. You know, you might have been saved for years, but you haven't read the book very much. You hear it preached, but you don't read it. Some of you may have began at the beginning of the year. "I'm going to read my Bible through." And you've quit already. You know, get started again. Get back to it. Do you know why? Because the Word of God will change your life. It will revolutionize your Christian walk. I was saved when I was 15 years of age. God worked a great work in me. God brought me to a place of commitment. God called me to preach. God did all sorts of things in my life. But you know, I went to college to study for the ministry. And when I was a freshman in college, I began to realize, you know what? Here I am. I'm a Bible student. I'm called to preach. And I've never read the book through. And I made up my mind, I'm going to start reading the Bible on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. And they say, well, do you ever miss some? Sure, I miss some. Everybody misses some. But since that time, I've been reading the Word of God. And I have a special way which I pursue through it. I'll share that with you anytime that you want to follow that. But I just don't start in Genesis and try to go all the way through. I don't do it that way. But I keep in the book. And you know, when I first read that first year, I read it through four times. Now, I'll tell you, that's a lot of reading. It really is. That's a lot of time. I'm a slow reader. Maybe you're a quick reader. I'm slow. Four times I read the Bible through that year. Boy, what a change it made in my life. I mean, immediately, what a difference. And I've been reading it ever since. You want commitment, Christian? You want to cleanse your life? You want to know how to follow God and know what to do for the Lord? Then get into the book. Find the book and read it. And then finally, I would say to anyone here that is lost, if you'll get into the book, you will find God's view on sin and on rebellion. That's what Josiah found out. Hey, look, we've gone away. Our fathers haven't been obedient. We brought judgment upon ourselves. You get into the book, you're going to find about your sin. You may not like that too much, but you'll find out that you're a sinner before a holy God. And you're going to find out that you're under judgment and you're under condemnation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, my friend. And he that doesn't believe is under condemnation already. And the wrath of God abides on you. Dear sinner friend, get into the book. You may not like it, but you're going to find that you're a sinner. You know you're rebellious. You know there's judgment. But I'll tell you what else you'll find in the Word of God. You're going to find God's love. You're going to find His mercy. You're going to find about His provision for forgiveness. I just don't declare unto you judgment and wrath. I declare unto you judgment and wrath plus God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. Jesus Christ came nearly 2,000 years ago and gave up His life. God manifest in the flesh so that you might have forgiveness of sins. How do I know about that? God didn't talk to me about that. You know where I found it? I found it in His book. I read it in the Bible. And this is God's Word, God's revelation. You want to know how to be forgiven of your sin? Get into the book. You say, well, I believe you got to be baptized to go to heaven. My friend, you better get into the book and find out what the book says. Oh, I got to join a church, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. You better get into the book. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, it's of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done. Do you believe He was crucified for sinners, buried and risen again? Do you know that if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you eternal life? All that is found in the book. So if you're here and you're lost, you need to find the book and you need to read it. So it's true for every one of us, isn't it? Let's get into the book. Let's love the Word of God. See what God has for us and what a difference it'll make. It'll make a great change in the lives of believers. And it makes a greater change in the lives of the lost because they learn about who they are, they learn about who God is, they learn what Christ has done. And God in His grace and mercy, when He saves a sinner, brings them from death unto life, from blindness unto sight. And my, what a change that is. Sinner, would you be saved today? Would you trust Christ? You say, well, I don't know anything about Him. Then you better get into the book. Learn about Jesus. Start in John. You'll learn a lot about Him. Well, I'd like for us to stand and sing. And the invitation simply is this. You've heard the message, and I trust it's been clear enough to encourage you about the Bible. And I just want you to search your heart and see how you are in regard to the Word of God and deal with that before God. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. And if you need any help at all, you come. Let's stand. We'll pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the opportunity to share Your Word. I pray that You'd overcome my frailty of speech. That God, You would take Your Word and apply it to every heart by Your Spirit. beginning with the lost today. We ask that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. Help them to know who Jesus is. And God, if they're not aware of those truths, then I pray that you would implant in every sinner's heart a desire to get into your word. And then as they read, as they study, you would reveal truth to them and then bring them to yourself. And may we who are saved love you, love your word, and be found obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?